There's a little Canadian flag on my little snowsuit. We'd get these packages from Canada. And as I grew up, I found out that my father's father was still alive and that he had escaped and in 1950 had come to Canada. And so he kept sending us different packages. But as a little kid, I didn't understand this all until at age 5, my dad, so you can imagine if you're separated from your father for 40 years, your whole life, you just want to be reunited. And so he kept applying every year and kept getting denied by the communist government to go visit his father in Canada. And then for whatever reason in 1979, whether it was an answer to prayer or what, my dad actually applied to come with me, thinking there's no way Russian government would allow a father and son to leave their country. And for whatever reason, we were granted permission to come visit for 43 days in 1979. So picture a 5-year-old kid who's never had indoor plumbing, no phone. We did have a black and white TV. I had a handful of toys. And my father, who for the 40 years had been taught, through communism that you're living in the best country in the world, there's nothing better than this. And we show up on the doorsteps in St. Catharines, Ontario, at my grandfather's home. I'm trying to process this as a 5-year-old kid, at Marineland and Toys R Us, when all I've ever seen was just a handful of wooden toys. And talk about uncharted territory. And my dad, reconnecting with his father 40 years later for the first time and seeing this amazing country. And so 2 years later, we were granted permission to leave, and we were absolutely thrilled. So thank you. That was my third joke, and so thank you for, you delivered beautifully there. So in 1981, we were given permission to go into some new uncharted territory, and we left Russia, and we came here. And I made the assumption as a 7-year-old kid that life was just going to be no different than it was back home. You see, I was deeply shaped by back home, and part of this is communism, is there wasn't really any difference between all of us. The fact that my mom was a nurse and my dad was an ambulance driver did not lead to our family living any differently than my best friend across the street, where there was 8 children, mom was at home and dad was a market vendor. Community was not optional. Community is just how we lived. We helped each other, we supported each other, and we relied on each other's gifts for survival. So this whole North American notion of the independent man or woman was something I had never been familiar with. And so if you knew how to fix cars and you had some cows and to provide milk, you would just help each other. And there was a joy in the community. You worked hard together. And you were constantly in community. So I expected Canada to be just like that, that life would carry on. But what I didn't expect was to come into a country that was taught to systematically hate people from the country I was born in. I was not expecting to go to the playground and be told, you don't belong because of where you come from, can't trust you, we don't like you, go back. And so as a little kid, when you continuously hear that message of you don't belong, there's something wrong with you, you start believing that. And you start wondering what's wrong with you. So here's the, don't you love 1980s church directory pictures? I mean, man, that is something we need to get back to. I think the gathering should consider that. Should get some wood paneling, fake trim in the back, some encyclopedias. Bet you your kids don't even know what encyclopedias are. So here we are reunited, and looks great, doesn't it? It's a feel-good story, and so we're all smiling. But behind all that was incredible challenge of acculturating and getting used to things. And for me, what I want to say is although every day on the playground wasn't that much fun with the racism and being told that I don't belong, but one place I did belong was my church. Churches often don't get things right for people navigating uncharted territory. But when they do get it right, it is transformative. And that is the role we can play here at the gathering, and you play at the gathering for folks who are going into uncharted territories. It got it right for me because it said you do belong. It said you are of value. You have gifts. We're going to explore them with you, and we're going to be grateful for you. And so I'm eternally grateful for faith communities doing that. And you have to understand, going to church was an uncharted territory for me. In Russia, there were no churches. This whole notion of going to a place on a Sunday morning was totally foreign land to me. And all of a sudden, I showed up in this place that made me feel welcome, wanted, and loved. And that was, whew. That was transformative for me. And so when people ask me, why are you so passionate about House of Friendship and the work that House of Friendship does? Because it's personal. Because the work that we do at House of Friendship each day, whether it's through addiction treatment or food or housing, the main core of the work is to allow people to feel like they belong. Because we do a great job in the broader community of telling people you don't belong because of you're an addict, you're homeless, you come from this country, you speak a different language. And so to be part of work that gets to challenge that and allow people to feel like they belong is a huge, deep privilege and a gift. And so now to you, I want to ask, back to our lives are a collection of journeys into uncharted territory. What uncharted territory have you walked into? What uncharted territory are you about to walk into? And I don't want to just talk about just physical, maybe moving somewhere, but it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. Maybe it's your health. Maybe you're going into uncharted territory with a new health struggle. Some of you work in the tech industry here. A few of you. There was a big tech conference this week in our community, True North Tech for Good, and I had the privilege of attending it, and boy, was there a clear message that we are, as humanity, walking into some pretty new uncharted territory, right? Lots of conversation about artificial intelligence and a lot of the technology that's already there, from autonomous vehicles to AI, all these things. And we're not quite sure what to do with it all. And the technology is there, and it's going at a quick rate. But are we able to keep up with that, this uncharted territory? And how will we navigate some of the outcomes of it? What about the gathering? Talk about going into uncharted territory years ago and to where you are today. Isn't that incredible that you started one place, you didn't know where it was going to lead, and here you are at Chandler, right in the midst of this community, being a blessing, and the relationships that you've built and the connections you've made. It's all about uncharted territory. And now I want to take you back to the text that Catherine read at the beginning, Genesis 12, 1-9. Did you hear it at the beginning? God is saying to Abram, go from your country, leave everything you know, leave and go into uncharted territory. And there's this huge promise. I will make you into a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. You'll have many descendants. And wouldn't it be great if every time you were to go into uncharted territory, you'd have that kind of guarantee? Everything's going to work out. Just everything will be fine. You'll be blessed. And the challenge with the scripture text this morning is that sometimes we put biblical characters on a bit of a pedestal and we say, but they're different than us. Or boy, Abram and Sarai, they really were faithful servants. If you dig deeper and if you read Genesis chapters 12 to 22 in the broader context, you all of a sudden start seeing a very different picture. You see, Abram and Sarai, just like you and I, were scared. We doubted God's faithfulness. And let's look at their journey, right? So God says, go into this uncharted territory. I will bless you. You'll have many descendants. You'll be just fine. And what happens? The first place they get to? Famine. Second place they come to? Abram lies, right? He says, this isn't my wife. This is my sister. So even though God said, just trust me, be faithful, Abram, like all of us, panics and does that because we're human and we forget God's faithfulness, just like Abram and Sarah. And sometimes we laugh at God, right? God said, Sarah, you will have a child. Oh, come on. Ha ha. Look at my age, God. Like, you must be kidding. And not only sometimes do we laugh, sometimes we do really stupid things. Like, hey, I think God was just joking about me having a baby. Like, I think God was, I don't think God really meant that. So, you know what, Abram, just go with my servant Hagar and have a child. The message of this morning is, from Genesis 12, God's faithfulness does not change. God's faithfulness does not change as we go into uncharted territory. What changes is us. And we're human, and we have worries, and we have concerns, and we have doubts, and so that reality plays itself out at times. And so this morning, the gathering, I leave you with four things. Think about some challenge. Number one, reflect on your own journey up until this point in your life. And where has God's faithfulness played a role in your life that in the moment you might not have realized, but in retrospect, you were like, yes, God was faithful all throughout, even though I was scared, I doubted. Where has God's faithfulness played in your journey that you didn't see? Now, as a broad community, what uncharted territory is God calling the gathering to? What uncharted territory is God calling the gathering to? Thirdly, as a faith community, it's interesting, we often hear that, you know, what's the point of the faith community in today's context? Church is becoming irrelevant, all these messages. And yet at the same time, we read news every day that's filled with fear, distrust, anxiety. We continuously hear stories about the other and how we should distance ourselves. I think of Omar and the messages that he's going to hear in our country growing up because of what people have been taught to think about people from Syria, people of Muslim background, of different faiths and cultures. What messages will Omar hear? And what role can we as a faith community play in people's lives who are entering uncharted territory? What role can the gathering play and as a faith community to speak to the fear and the anxiety of the world today? As I sat at that tech conference this week, I thought, wow, if there's ever been a greater need for the faith community, it is now to speak truth, to speak love, to speak kindness, and people are so deeply seeking that in a very disconnected context. So as a faith community, what role can the gathering play for individuals walking into uncharted territory? And lastly, I just want to leave you with the blessing that God's faithfulness does not change. And may that be a huge comfort for you as you enter into your own uncharted territories, both individually and as a communal body of Christ. May that be a comfort to you, but may that also be the peace that gives you the energy and the courage as you face the challenges in our community that you so deeply seek to help with. Thank you for being a blessing. Amen.